Hi everyone, this is Yara Stark here. Welcome to another Entrepreneur's Journey podcast. Today on the line, I have an interviewee, and we're attempting a video interview, although the lag has been a little bit probably prohibitive, so this may end up going up as audio only. We'll see what it comes out like at the end. But my guest today is Laura Roeder. I think I'm saying that right.
Yes.
Okay, good. Thank you for being here, Laura.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Okay, now, Laura, I brought you on for a couple of reasons. I've noticed lately there's definitely an upward trend in the number of women jumping into the internet marketing space, which is obviously a wonderful thing to see. You're one of them. So I just wanted to get a little bit of background about what you're doing online, how you got involved. Obviously, this can be inspiring for women, but also no doubt for men as well. But it's just great to get some variety in these interviews. And your specialty is something that I'm really always excited about, and because it's something I fully endorse, which is basically becoming sort of a solo famous person in the sense that you create your fame by
Yeah.
yourself. But we'll talk about that in later in the interview. Let's first find out a bit more about you. So, where are you coming from right now, and what's your story?
Yeah, so right now I'm recording in Venice Beach in Los Angeles. I have a tiny view of the ocean right out there, like if you look in between the leaves of two trees. So I technically have an ocean view in my home office. I'm originally from Austin, Texas.
So does that mean you sound like a Texan? I'm not very good with the differences here, just so everyone's clear.
Oh, I don't
Nope.
really sound like a Texan. Most
No.
people can't tell, but I do have a little bit of an accent.
Just a bit, yeah.
Just
Okay.
a bit.
All right. Cool. So in that case, you went to school in Austin, I presume.
I did. I went to the University of Texas, which is in Austin, and I studied advertising there.
Okay, advertising. That kind of makes sense. So, did you go from that into a typical advertising marketing job or?
Kind of. I always knew that I wanted to be a designer. I didn't go to, so I looked into going to art school for graphic design, but I didn't really want to do all the other art stuff. Like, I'm definitely a designer and not an artist. And when you go to school for graphic design, if you go, to an undergrad college, you have to do all the art foundation stuff. That really wasn't that interesting to me. And I've always loved marketing, so I thought if I did advertising, I thought my advertising program would have a design component, a creative component, which it kind of ended up that it didn't.
Right.
But I always had design jobs in college, so when I graduated, I looked for a job as a designer, and I did work at an ad agency in Chicago, a really small specialized ad agency, and I was a web and print designer there for about a year and a half. And then I started my own business. I did not do that for very long.
Okay, so was it because you didn't like working for someone else, or what was the catalyst for the change?
Yeah, I mean, I've always known that I would want to start my own business. I didn't know that it would be when I was 22 years old. I didn't know that it would be so soon. But I come from an entrepreneurial family. My father's an architect and he's self-employed. So I think that made it a little easier for me than it is for a lot of people. I always grew up in an environment where that's how my family made money, was through entrepreneurship of some form. My dad is just he's not like a he's very good at being an architect and he's self-employed and that's what he does though. Like, I'm much more interested in business than he is. He just wants to have enough clients, to get by. So the job was really terrible. It was just a really terrible environment, in a lot of different ways. The company was really unethical, which it's pretty easy to figure out who they were, so I probably shouldn't say that, but that's the truth. And so, really, the big catalyst for me with quitting my job was I thought about the path that it would take to get where I wanted to be, which was basically to have any kind of leadership. Yeah, that's my cat. Sorry.
You
If
didn't
you're watching the
warn
video version, you
me.
can see a tail right now.
I love the authentic home business. It's very
Right.
natural.
Exactly. Definitely
Just
work from
leave
home.
him or her there. It's cool. Keep
Okay.
going.
She'll be quiet if she sits on my lap. So I thought, okay, when you're a designer, the leadership role is being an art director. And also, I always liked the marketing and participating in the bigger marketing picture. And just a regular designer doesn't get to do that, but the creative director, the art director does. So I started thinking, okay, well, that's what I want to do. I really want to have a marketing role and a leadership role. So it's like, okay, right now I'm a junior designer. So I'll be a junior designer for, 2 years, and then I'll be a regular designer, and then I'll be the head designer, and then I'll be the creative director, and then I'll be the art director. I'm like, God, it's going to take 10 years at minimum to get to that leadership position. I'm like, if I quit my job, then I get to be in charge. I get to skip the 10 years. I'm the art director if I quit my job, if I start my own design business. So after I figured that out, I was like, man, why would I want to hang around for 10 years if I can just start my own thing and I'll be at the top. So when I quit, when I started my business, which was about 3 years ago now, it was a web design business. It wasn't what I do now. I made websites for local businesses.
Right. So that's a typical place to start. I mean, in my own history, I've got the web design in the resume as well for a couple of years, hosting and so forth. Now, I think that's a great place to start. So I'm assuming you quit your job and you realized you could make websites, so you thought, let's go and try and get some clients in your local area. Or did you move from Chicago to LA at that point, or?
I was still in Chicago at that time,
Okay.
and yeah, I've actually been making websites since the mid-90s, since I was actually in junior
Wow.
high with how young I am. So I've been doing that for a really long time. That was really second hat to me, so it was really easy to say, hey, I can just start charging for this. So yeah, I was in Chicago. I didn't When I started my business, it's funny because people think that they need to have all this stuff in place when they start a business. I mean, I didn't have any clients. I didn't know anyone. I had been a designer at an ad agency. I didn't know entrepreneurs. I didn't know small business owners. I knew no one. And I had not lived in Chicago for very long. I just didn't know many people in Chicago. So I needed business. So what I did was go to local networking events. Which I still tell people, it's not very glamorous or high leverage or anything, but it's a really great way to find clients and to find businesses in your area. So I just started going to networking events and introducing myself, and people thought I was nice, so they hired me to make a website for them. And I mean, I've always been able to keep my business running, make enough money to get by from day one. It's a no overhead business. You collect money from someone and then you make them a website.
Awesome. I have to ask, what's your cat's name before we continue here?
My cat's name is Koopa, like from Nintendo, like Koopa Troopa.
Troopa. Okay,
Yeah,
awesome.
so
Just
that's,
because
I know if you're watching the video, there's like a whole lot of Koopa going on.
I feel like I need to ask him a question here just to get some participation, So, what was his contribution to your entrepreneurial startup?
She keeps me
Sheep,
company
okay.
while I work, which is important when you work from home. You don't want to get lonely, so.
Okay, good stuff. So, okay, so you got your web design business and you got your clients kind of through networking events and so forth. Now, I presume at some point you might have what got sick of what you were doing for that business, or did you see another opportunity, or what happened?
Yeah, I pretty much got sick of what I was doing. And anyone who has a client-based business, you really have to be a certain type of person to love doing it for a long time, in my opinion. And websites are really hard. I think being a designer is really hard because, kind of by definition, your clients are hiring you because they don't understand what you do. They don't. Now my cat's trying to play with my necklace. They're hiring you because they don't know what good design looks like because they can't do it themselves. So it can be really frustrating trying to get agreement with people who, by definition, don't know what's good or bad, don't know what they're looking at. So that's like just my little designer rant there. But I started to see that there were other business models that were not totally client-based, that everybody talks about trading hours for dollars and moving beyond that and scaling. So that's really what I wanted to be able to do. And also, how I did web design was I would charge pretty significant fees and only have a few clients. So I would have maybe 5 clients at a time. So when one contract ended, I was starting from scratch. It was sort of like having to start your business from scratch over and over and over again. I never got any traction. Each time I needed to find a new client, it was like starting from ground zero.
All right, and I can tell this is it's funny when you're talking about leaving your job before, you sounded like you're basically a control freak, like most entrepreneurs are.
Right.
You
Oh,
don't want to have a
definitely.
boss ever, and you want to get away from having that sort of structure on top of you where you can't do what you want to do when you want to do it. And it's funny when you move on to a, excuse me, a client sort of based business, you're your own boss, but you kind of are restricted to what your clients want and so forth. So I'm assuming part of your decision-making process here was to move away from, I guess, a one-to-one service delivery and maybe more teaching and less doing the job for people. Would that be accurate or?
Yes, that's definitely accurate. And you know, I still do work with some clients in my business model now, but it's not, you know, the revenue is not reliant upon that. I have other ways to make money. If I wanted to stop working with people for a while and take a break, I could. Where my old business, the second I stopped doing client work, I had $0.
All right, well, explain how you transitioned then. That's interesting, so.
So it's actually been pretty recent that I moved away from my old business. So in at the end of the year in 2008, I moved to Los Angeles. So that was just kind of a new time to evaluate, do things differently, see what I wanted to do, and kind of a starting over for my business because previously almost all my clients had been in Chicago, and like I said, I found them through local events. So I was to a degree kind of starting over with my web design business. So with my clients, I always did a lot of advising on online marketing. When I created a website for them, it was, okay, how are people going to get to this website? What are they going to do? Once they get there, what's the purpose? I kind of thought that that's what web designers did, but I found out that actually that's not what most web designers did at all. You know, they just
Right.
made your website look good. They did not think about the marketing. And social media is just something I had always done for fun. Like I said, I've been online forever, you know, since the modern web basically. And I had always, when I was young, it was just, you know, creating communities for the bands I liked and stuff like that. But I had just always been involved in creating spaces online and just for fun, seeing all the cool stuff that was happening with the web. So I don't even remember exactly how it happened, but at some point I had the epiphany that social media and to a larger degree, online marketing was stuff that people would pay me for. And that was just like the fun throwaway stuff in my mind before. It's like, oh, I make you a website, that's what I get paid for. You want me to tell you about Facebook or you want me to tell you about this or that? Okay, whatever. You know, I'll tell you what you need to know. But it seemed crazy to me that anybody would pay me for that because it seemed so basic for me. And I see that in a lot of entrepreneurs because something comes naturally to you or you understand something well, you're like, well, nobody would pay me for that. That who couldn't possibly understand, you know, C++ programming or whatever it is. It's so
I don't.
obvious. You know, and I see a lot of people making that mistake of not appreciating their knowledge and talents, you know, and really taking them for granted.
All
I don't know
right,
if I
so
answered your question.
no, I can see that transition here. So you're basically getting asked by your web design clients about all these other areas outside of web design in terms of, I guess, social media marketing is the best way
Right.
to put it. You're
Right.
naturally doing that because you enjoy it anyway. You grew up doing it with promoting, bands or whatever it was you're into at the time. And then you've realized there's an actual need in the marketplace for this, and you know a lot about it. So what was your next step to start offering packages around that area or?
Yeah, so it has been a journey in how I've offered my services, and that probably is a good lesson for people because I think sometimes people don't talk about what didn't work. They just make their story sound like, and then everything was perfect. That's not how it happened for me. So basically, in the beginning of 2009, I kind of made a leap of faith and decided to fire all my web design clients. Like, I decided this is it, I'm not going to do it anymore. And I think, like many service providers, I had that one client who basically paid me a salary. I mean, they paid me a lot of money. They paid me the equivalent of a salary and a normal job, but they were also, you know, the source of all the troubles in my life at that time, you know. They were very difficult. So that was kind of like the last one because they gave me so much work and they paid me so much money and I really held their business together in a lot of ways. It sounds weird as a designer, but they would part of the reason they were such a pain is because they would send me all their files and expect me to store all their files for them and send them to the right person. And it was very difficult getting rid of them because they obviously didn't want me to go. They kept coming back and being like, "Will you just do this? Will you just do this? Just this one little project." So I really had to be firm in that decision, but I did. I told all my clients I wasn't doing design anymore. And then what I moved to was I tried to do like big consulting contracts for bigger companies. And that's what never really worked out for me. I spent a few months in the beginning of 2009 trying to do that. It was also during this time that I really started to learn a lot about internet marketing and online marketing. I kind of stumbled into Evan Pagan's world through Twitter, kind of totally by accident. And I ended up winning a contest that he held about how to do social media marketing. It was just a little thing on his blog where he's like, write an article about how to market with social media, and then whoever wins gets my info products. I didn't know who he was. I was like, whatever, I can win this contest. And so I won, and I got his info products. And because he holds his seminars in LA, I started going to all of his seminars. So
You're
in the
lucky.
beginning of the year, yeah, that, I mean, looking back, that was such an incredible thing. I didn't appreciate it really at the time, but I've learned an incredible amount from Evan. So in the beginning of the year, I started learning a lot about internet marketing from Evan. I was trying to go after like these really big, expensive corporate contracts, but I just didn't know anything about that world. I've never worked in corporate America. I've only had one job period. It was at a small company. The whole like doing contracts and doing presentations and RFPs and stuff, I've just never been very good at it, and I just don't really understand that whole process. So I spent a few months in that zone struggling, and that didn't work out very well for me. But at the same time, that's when I developed my first information product, which was Backstage Path to Twitter. That probably came out in like March of 2009. And that was such a turning point because with my first info product, I made like, I think it was around $3,000. And I had used to spend months trying to get a contract from a client for $3,000. You know, so that was totally amazing to me. You know, some people don't think that it sounds like a lot, but I mean, I'm still very happy to make $3,000. I think that's great. And so that, especially when that happened, and I was like, okay, I'm trying to get these consulting contracts for maybe a few thousand a month. It's such a difficult process. I can't get anyone to sign up. But then I do this info product, which is really fun for me to do. I love doing webinars and teaching and doing videos. And that made $3,000, and I can keep selling that. It's kind of like, which one of these things should I pursue? So that's really how I made the decision that doing online programs would be the core of my business.
So you went from the nice switch from a consultancy service-based business to slowly becoming a product-based business. This is a nice transition. I'm really jealous that you are in California there, because I'd love to get to any of Evan's events. I haven't been to one yet, and I've been studying his stuff for many, many years. So I'm hoping, I mean, just to be able to attend everything, because he's got one coming up Miami, I think this sometime soon. I don't know. I just constantly.
Yes, I'm not going to that one, but yeah, but he has so many events in LA and I go to all of them. I live in Venice and he has them around the airport, so it's literally a 15-minute drive. So yeah, that's
Jealous,
been incredible.
very
Yeah.
jealous. I know. I gotta spend some more time in the States. But all right, so you've made the smart decision, and I think that's a great sort of typical story in that sort of transition an entrepreneur goes through. That actually, it's almost classic, from job to consultancy sort of service business to creating your own products. And I think it's necessary to go through that process, though, because you know it's a, you build your skills, you get more experience, you're in a place where you have stories to tell other people about what's worked and what hasn't worked. So it is, I think, necessary to go through that journey. Now, that's your first product, the back end to Twitter, I presume. Now, that must have been somewhat angled, not, I mean, obviously Twitter is a great direct response tool, so you can get traffic directly from it, but you must have obviously saw the angle around the high profile personality with Twitter, because I think most people who get the clicks from Twitter are also the highest profiled personalities on Twitter as well. Obviously, you don't have to be a superstar, but someone important within your niche. So, did this sort of balloon into focusing on the idea of becoming a star in your space, or is that something separate?
Well, that's actually kind of a whole different story that I didn't tell that was happening concurrently, which is when I moved to LA, I thought that I might work with a lot of actors. And that's as a social media consultant. And that's actually a whole nother path that I pursued because my best friend happens to be an actress, Bria Grant. And I did her website, and then she got on Heroes. She got a major role in the TV show Heroes, which I don't know if you guys have that in Australia, but it's a okay, it's a super popular show in the States.
What's her
So
character?
she's on the third season. Yeah, she's on the third season. She's the speedster.
Speedster. Okay,
Yeah,
I'll look out
on
for
Heroes. She was
her.
only on the third season, but she's in almost every episode.
That's
So
awesome.
I got to be there for a really cool turning point for her because we had made this website kind of for casting directors and stuff like that. And then she told me she was going to be on Heroes. I was like, this is not a casting director website. This is a fan website now. So I really helped her to use social media and be one of the first celebrities on Twitter. And that really utilized Twitter to grow their fan base. And it's funny because a lot of people think like, oh, once you're on TV, you're famous and you have a fan base, but that's really not true, especially if you think of a show like Heroes. You can think of a lot of people who have been on the show maybe for one season, especially because Heroes is always trading off their characters. You know, there have been people who have been main characters for one season, but the thing is, the way that celebrity entertainment works, you see them on TV for one season, but you have no way to keep up with them if they're not on the web. Even if you love their character, you know, you can watch Entertainment Tonight every night and hope that they get interviewed. But if they're not keeping a blog, if they're not keeping a Twitter, even if you love them on that one show, as a fan, you don't have an easy way to keep track of what they're doing next and their next projects. And so that's what we really did with Bria. And kind of the whole fame angle for businesses came from seeing what we did with Bria and kind of thinking like, well, if this works for Bria, why doesn't it work for any kind of personality? And what I did with Bria is really the same kind of principles that I used for myself. I mean, I'm my own best test case. You know, I really have only done my business for about a year, but I've been able to establish a really good size audience and make kind of, you know, a name for myself in this space. So that's kind of a whole another story that I didn't even tell before, but that was another thing that was happening that helped me kind of develop that angle of personality-based social media. And what I teach people, I don't teach about like traffic generation. That's a nice side effect to what I do, but that's not my focus. I don't teach about generating traffic or like social bookmarking stuff to get traffic. That's not my stuff, because my clients are really not internet businesses. My clients are businesses that want to get more leads, more business from the internet.
All right, so that's a fairly important point to distinguish, isn't it? Because it really defines what your client is coming to you for. So, okay, cool. So I'm a little bit curious then, in the case of the actress, I can tell obviously she would have had, mainstream exposure, so she would have had people searching for her. In your case though, Laura, you didn't. You're, don't want to be harsh, but you're a
A
nobody,
nobody.
a nobody in some regards. So, I don't know, do you have a TV background somewhere in there we don't know about, but so you obviously had to develop yourself and market yourself. Can you maybe talk about what you did, even just specifically with Twitter, or I don't know, whatever you think was, I mean, you said you did networking events prior to this. You start hanging out at LA, fashion or actor events to try and get those type of clients, or how did you get your name out there?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, first of all, like I discovered really quickly that the actor thing was not the path that I wanted to pursue. And I've actually had a lot of very smart people tell me that that was a big mistake because I've had people tell me you could have been the person, you know, for Hollywood, for social media, because I was in there early. But oh my God, dealing with people in Hollywood is a nightmare. It's a total nightmare. You know, what I found out is that you get on the phone with them and they're like, "This is the best idea ever. We love it. We're doing it." And that means like, not so much. We didn't really like it.
Really?
It's a really strange world that I really do not have a huge desire to be a part of. Like, it's fun. I love my friend, but it's really not my passion. I really love helping small businesses. That's genuinely what I love to do. So that's kind of a side note, but as far as establishing my own reputation, I mean, there are a few things. One is that a lot of people don't appreciate the small fan base that they have and don't really nurture it as much as they should, because the way that you get a fan base is just a really organic, gradual process of just keeping to build it. And when I say a fan base, I mean, it's not your Twitter followers, it's not your blog hits, because we all know there's a ton of tricks out there to get 100,000 Twitter followers. You can pay and get 100,000 Twitter followers. Who cares? Those people don't like you, they don't know you, whatever. I'm talking about getting people who actually like you, who are actually your fan and hopefully will buy from you. Everybody has to start somewhere. And a lot of people get on Twitter or they start a blog and they're like, "Oh, this is dumb. No one's commenting. I only have 20 people following me," and they get frustrated and they kind of give up. But what I tell people to do and what I've done is when you have those five followers, I mean, I know that you teach this as well, just about really creating really great quality content. And it's about the quality content and the quality interactions with people. So even when you only have five followers, even when you have no blog comments, being really diligent about still creating the best value that you can and helping those people who are your early fans, even if it's only your aunt in the beginning, really giving her as much value as you can in the beginning, because that's what makes people spread the word about you to others, is really being blown away by your level of expertise or service or whatever it is. But a lot of people think like, "Oh, well, it doesn't really matter because I'm just starting out," and I feel like they're not really giving it their all in the beginning. And I think that's really, really important. And the other thing that I teach people to do is that it's really easy to get coverage in online media. And a lot of people don't try because they think they're too small. But things like getting interviewed on a blog or a podcast or an online TV show, there's so many of them out there that a lot of them need content badly. Like, they need you to write guest posts. They need you to be a guest on their Blog Talk TV radio show. They're looking for people. And all you have to do is approach them and say, "I am a great match for your audience. I have this of value to provide them." People want good quality stuff. They don't care how many Twitter followers you have. They don't care how many years you've been doing it. If you have good stuff to give, they want it. And a lot of people just don't approach those opportunities, but it all builds upon itself. Once you've been on one radio show, people invite you to others, and it looks impressive that you've been on this blog, that you've been on this radio show.
Okay, so you sort of use the compounding effect of just tiny little bits of exposure leading to more bits of exposure and so on. So I think you made an important point there, though, regarding the lack of belief that people have that that will actually work, especially when you have only your aunt reading your blog, because that's kind of disappointing to wake up every day and just talk to your family member instead of what you think is necessary, which is thousands or tens of thousands of people. So did you, in your case, have some sort of belief structure that helped carry you through this, or are you just really persistent, or are you just really foolish that you think you will work out every time? Like, what's your, where's this motivation coming from?
Don't know. That's a really good question. I don't really have a clear answer for it. I mean, I've just always felt like I kind of had to hustle and do whatever I needed to make my business work. I know a lot of people are in this situation and they still don't do it, so I know this isn't really an answer, but I don't have any other money coming in besides the money that my business gives me. So I've always felt like I need to make stuff happen, to get stuff done. I can't just, like, if stuff isn't working out, I need to move on to something else that is. And like you said, I mean, there must be something deeper than that, because there's plenty of people who are in that situation and still don't get stuff done. But I don't know. That's what it feels like to me. It's just like, well, I do it because I have to, because I want to live in this nice apartment in Venice Beach,
It's amazing what the threat of lack of food or not paying your rent will do in terms
Right,
of motivating.
I gotta pay for my cat food,
You got a spouse there, so. Okay, cool. So, moving forward then, you got out of the celebrity marketplace, and what was your new target clientele from that point? I guess, which is probably your current clientele, would that be right?
My current clientele, and some people say that you have to have a really specific niche. That's not what I do with my business. My clients are mostly, a lot of them are solopreneurs. A lot of them have really small businesses. Any kind of service professional tends to be a good match for my stuff because when you're a service professional, you're often branding under your own name. And a lot of what I teach is, like you're saying, establishing that personal brand. But I do teach people something a little bit different in branding. I mean, I think it can be a really good way to go to have the really specific niche that works for a lot of businesses, but it doesn't work for everyone. And I see people getting really frustrated because they've picked this totally arbitrary niche because someone told them you have to have a specific niche. So they're like, well, I'm only going to work with women who are 25 to 30. And they're so limp. It's like, well, what if a woman is 32 and she's a perfect match for you? And they're like, no. Somebody told me that I have to have this niche. They can only be, then this 5-year window. So I think there's kind of another way to niche, which is the personality-based niche. And it sounds kind of weird, but my niche is people who like me. My niche is people who my style and my personality appeals to. And I think you see more and more personalities in online businesses and all types of businesses really going that way.
Yeah, that's a great market because you're guaranteed to get people that should be kind of fun to work with because they like you.
Right. They like me and I like them. I mean, I love the people who buy my stuff. I always get a kick out of seeing the really cool businesses that they have. And I hesitate to say that because I know when you're just starting out, that can be kind of frustrating. Like, well, what do I do with that? What does that mean? But the more you show your own personality, the more that differentiates you from everyone else. And that's another thing that a lot of people get stuck on. They try to copy what everyone else is doing, and they try to make their website sound like everyone else's. And it's such a way to shoot yourself in the foot because then there's nothing that stands out about you. When you let your own personality and style and philosophy shine through, that gives people a reason to pick you.
I love that advice too. I like giving it because it's a point of differentiation that no one can
Right.
copy. So that's
Exactly.
really effective. Can you give us an example maybe of one or two of your clients and in what sort of industries they're in and how successful are they at becoming famous in what they're
Yeah.
doing?
So one of my favorite stories, because it's such a random industry, I have a client named Andrew Schneider, and he's a podiatrist in Houston. I'm trying to remember, I think his Twitter name is Houston Foot Doc on Twitter. And he's just taken my programs. We haven't even worked, one-on-one consulting. He's just taken all my programs. And what I love about this stuff is, especially in an industry where no one else is doing it, you can do, and I mean, he does more than the bare minimum, but I always tell people this. I'm like, if you have an industry where no one else is blogging, you start a blog and you just put yourself at the heap of the pile. If you have the lawn care business in Los Angeles and people search lawn care and you're the only one that's showing anything about your personality or how you do business, like everybody's going to choose you because they have nothing else to go on. And so Andrew, Dr. Schneider, started writing a blog about foot health. I mean, it sounds funny, but he really did a good job writing about stuff that his customers would be interested in. This is another thing I teach about blogging. A lot of people make the mistake of blogging for their industry and not for their clients. Like, a lot of podiatrists would blog about the latest news in podiatry, but their customers don't understand that, their patients. So Andrew will blog about stuff where it'll be like there was a picture of Britney Spears running barefoot this weekend. Is it good or bad to run barefoot? Or he'll talk about like different
Nice connection, right?
Right, or different, like, I don't know, like common foot problems that people have.
Yeah,
So he's
I was gonna say top 10 celebrity feet or something like that. You could do all
right,
kinds of
exactly.
stuff, so.
So he's done a great job, blogging, getting on Twitter, doing just kind of the basic stuff. And what's happened for him is it's opened up all these incredible opportunities because people perceive him as the expert because he's one of the only ones putting himself out there and putting content out there. So I should pull up the email he sent me right now, but he sent me this email with just all this crazy stuff that's happened to him. Like, one, he's gotten speaking gigs at the hugest industry events, all from his website. He told me that he got a call from another podiatrist in, he's in Houston. He got a call from another podiatrist somewhere on the East Coast, I think, that had had a client or a patient come in with printouts from Andrew's website and Andrew's blog because that's where they went for the resource. You know, they can't go to him because he's in Houston, but they came in with printouts. He found through Twitter some kind of like orthopedic device online store that he's partnered with as a business opportunity that he's making some kind of, you know, referral fee from. That was totally an introduction on Twitter. He was asked to participate in a book about podiatry, like a really important top of his field book. And what's kind of funny too is that now he's viewed as a social media expert because no one else in his industry is doing this. So he tells me that like he laughs about it because people come to him all the time and they're like, how do you do Twitter? How do you write a blog? Because they think that he's so brilliant that he's figured out how to do it.
It's a great story. It's oh yeah, I just wonder how many of those kind of stories are out there and how many potential new stories we could have because, like you said, I mean, who would have thought a foot doctor is going to be a famous Twitter blogger, et
Right.
cetera. So it's, yeah, you could really apply this to almost any niche that's got some people who are, using the service or interested in it. So that's fantastic. Going forward then, Laura, I'm assuming continuing to build on the profile you're building in this area. What are you planning on doing, more product, or do you like speaking gigs, or what's your thing? What are you enjoying now?
Yeah, so actually there's kind of a few different avenues that I'm going down. I am continuing to I'll be launching more products in 2010. Also a lot of my business is updating my products. I'm sure you've had this problem as well. Some of the stuff we teach gets outdated really quickly, especially with social media, and it's really important to me that all the information that I deliver be relevant. And not be useless after 6 months. So I recorded my Twitter product a year ago, almost a year ago now. And so I'm relaunching it in February just to do it all over again. And another just kind of little side note tip for people is that I deliver all my products as videos on websites. Like you log into the website and watch the video instead of just downloading a video. And that's a really good way to deliver updates because when I have an update about something that's changed in the original video, I just create a little update video like, hey, you know how I said this button was on the left side? It's on the right side now. Here's a video explaining how it works now.
So, right, so instead of having them download it, they have to log in and see that page. Okay.
Exactly, where like delivering new downloads would be difficult. So there's programs that I'm refreshing this year. I'm adding more. Just kind of like a lot of people ask for basic level training on Facebook and LinkedIn, and those are things that I don't. Well, I have them inside my membership site now, but I might create them as one-off products as well. And I am pursuing speaking. I'm actually looking to get contracts with speakers bureaus right now. So I have, when we're recording this, I have two that are kind of in the works. Hopefully there'll be more, and I love to speak. I love to do webinars because I get to speak at my house. I love public speaking as well. So yeah, that'll definitely be something that I'm pursuing.
Okay, awesome. We haven't even mentioned your website yet out here, Laura. So yeah, where are you at, and what are your
Yeah.
sites?
So my website is lauraroeder.com. It's Laura, Roeder.com. My Twitter is LKR. That's a good place to find me. And on my website, something that's been really popular and really good for my business, for those of you who are taking notes for your business, is I do a weekly newsletter with an actionable tip every week. So something that you can do, I try to make it 5 minutes or less that you can do for your social media marketing. And so many people have told me, like, yours is the only newsletter that I actually read. I've deleted all my newsletters. And that's the one left. And I think it's really important in any business. There's a lot of different ways to do it. You can do it through a newsletter or a blog, but you really need to stay in front of people regularly. An email is a great way because you're putting it in their inbox instead of them coming to you. So go sign up for my newsletter on my website. It's really
Okay,
good.
awesome. Thank you, Laura. I'm looking forward to seeing what you get up to in the future, and that was fun to hear your background story. So I'm sure there's who knows what's coming up next. So with that, so thank you, and thank you to your cat Koopa as well for joining us on the show. And
She had a great time.
Okay, thanks everyone for listening in, and hopefully you got something out of that. Now we'll catch you again on a future podcast.
All right, thanks. Goodbye.